today is found in the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, concerning the prayer between the publican and the Pharisee. As Jesus spake unto his disciples and said unto them in a parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In this chapter, Jesus gives lessons on prayer. And in this first verse already, he speaks unto his disciples and he speaks unto us also that we ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is our duty. Prayer is an honor that God has bestowed upon us. And prayer likewise is a means whereby we may come before God and plead with him for the necessities that we need for this life as well as for eternity. The Bible is full of various different ways of prayer. Prayer is spoken of in Scripture as entreating, inquiring. We find in the beginning of the Bible that Isaac was married to Rebekah and she was barren. She had no children. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. And we find that he was entreated of him and his wife conceived. And then we find that Rebekah, who was pregnant, had such a disturbance in her body that she went to the Lord with this trouble and inquired of him what it was. And he answered her. These two people who were married together were blessed in this respect with a God to whom they could go to and who likewise heard them and answered them. And we find likewise prayer spoken of as wrestling. But Jacob, in the beginning of the Bible, had a man wrestling with him until the break of day. And Jacob was given by faith to wrestle back and not leave him go until he had blessed him. Prayer is spoken of likewise as a pouring out of the heart, likewise as of looking up unto God. Jesus then in this first verse speaks unto us that we should always pray. Pray unceasingly. Be instant in prayer. What a blessing, my hearers, if we have this given unto us and that we are continually in prayer. True prayer is by the Holy Ghost. And there is no way of access unto God but in and through the mediator, Christ Jesus. And it is only by faith that we can offer up true prayer. This Jesus speaks unto us that we should be continually in prayer. It teaches us also that God's people are a praying people. They have been given by the grace of the Spirit to pray. It is their daily and their nightly work to pray. How many of you listening to me have had a period in your lifetime that you were filled with prayer? What a mercy if you have had this, that you couldn't leave God alone. That whenever you were alone, you sought an opportunity to fall on your knees and pray to him. You had such a needs be in your heart for mercy, for pardon, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you continually pleaded with God in secret, and while you were at work inwardly, you were praying to him. This is what Jesus is speaking about. He says that we ought to do this and not to faint. Jesus knows each and every one of us. He knows that we are but dust, and he knows that we likewise are brought to a position where we do faint. The psalmist says in Psalm 27, I had fainted unless the Lord had been my help and my strength in the land of the living. And many times, if you have had this period in your life that you were given to pray, as I just said, that you come to a time when God withdraws his spirit from you, when you have at times no desire to pray. The reason for this is that you continue to do it, but you found no access. You found no nearness to God. You found no answers to your prayers. It just became a custom. It just became a form to you. And gradually, as this went on in your life, you begin to speak to yourself and say, what's the use of praying? You sink down so low in this capacity that you have no desire anymore. You have lost the sensible nearness of God, which you had so consciously when he was present. You saw God in every little thing. Oh, how close he was to you, and how you acknowledged him in all your ways. And then this is taken away, this is withdrawn. And then we begin to faint. This is biblical. We read in Isaiah 40 that the youth shall fail and the young men shall fall. And how many of us have experienced this? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not fall. They shall walk and not faint. This is an experience that Jesus means here, that irrespective of what we have to go through in life, we are to continue to be instant in prayer. We are more subject to forget about praying. How many of you have been that way? You haven't any time. I can't be bothered this morning. I got to go here. I got to go there. I got to do this. Or even when it's a set time that you have to pray, something comes in the way, and you are given to obey this, what has come in the way, instead of making it a point first to seek God's face. Oh, how often we are in this particular case. Oh, we are not fervent, and we do not have, as James says, that effectual and fervent prayer which availeth much. Oh, to be instant, to continue therein, is the command of Jesus at the beginning of this chapter. And he gives us a parable concerning, there was in the city a judge who feared not God nor regarded man. And there was a woman in the city, and she came unto this judge and said unto him, avenge me of my adversary. But he would not at first. This parable Jesus brings before us as an example of being filled with importunity at the throne of grace to continue and to persevere in prayer, as this woman did. This judge, he had an awful bad character. It's bad enough if a natural person does not fear God and doesn't regard man. But for a judge to be this way is much worse. And this judge, he knew he was this way. Conscious of it, that he feared not God and that he had no regard for man. He only had regard for himself. He only had regard probably for his wallet. when anybody came to him and was willing to give him something, for them he would do his utmost. But for the poor, for the fatherless, for the widows, he ignored them. So this widow, she came to him with her particular case. What the case was, the Bible doesn't say, but she had been done wrong by someone, and this someone was continuously troubling her about this. And she went to this judge and asked him to do right for her, but he wouldn't. He ignored her. He wouldn't listen to her. But this didn't disturb this woman. No. She continually, whenever she met him, daily, every day, she went to him and told him that he should do right for her. Now, of course, this judge, he didn't favor this too much, because he says, although I fear not God and regard man, lest this woman weary me, I will do her right. So after she had, by her importunity, in fact, pestered him day and night almost to have right done, he finally consented to do this. Now Jesus says, hear ye what the unjust judge saith? And shall not God then avenge his elect that cry unto him day and night? Jesus teaches us here to be like this widow, to continue to be instant, to persevere, irrespective of how much may come up against it. As Jesus speaks likewise, this judge, he gave in, he consented. And shall not then God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night? God has then an elect people, a chosen people, a people who he has loved from all eternity, a people for whom he covenanted with Christ, and he gave in his unspeakable love his dear son Jesus to come down into this world to suffer, to bleed, and to die for these people. They are his choice. They are his jewels. They are scattered throughout the whole universe. But they are set here before us with a mark that cry day and night unto him. Oh, my dear hearers, these elect sinners, they are, in the course of their lifetime, brought to a halt. They are brought under the conviction of the Spirit. They are given to see themselves as the chiefest, as the greatest of sinners. They are given to fall down before this precious Jesus and to seek him, to cry unto him day and night. How many have you? How many listening to me have been given to do this at times? Cry unto him day and night. Have you a cry going up to him that he would save you? A cry that he would deliver you? A cry that he would reveal himself to your soul? Oh, my dear hearers, this is a mark whereby you may test yourself whether you ever have been given to cry day and night unto him. If you have, you may be assured that you are one of his elect. As in heaven above, the glorified saints surround the throne and are in unity in praising God, so here upon earth, the elect are in unity. In prayer, they are seeking all the same things. They are united together, storming the throne of grace for pardon, for peace, for reconciliation to this great God against whom they sin. Oh, what a mercy if we may, in this respect, receive some comfort. Out of this word, they cry unto him day and night. I say unto you, he shall avenge them speedily. Probably you think, because I've been crying day and night, and he has not come and granted me my request, I can't be one of his elect. He has not come, speedily to me. What do you need in this respect? You need patience for him. He will most surely come in due time, but in his own time and in his own way. How necessary to be submissive and to be patient and to persevere in all the trials, in all the things that come up against us. And we ought to continue to pray for ourselves, for the church in general. We ought to pray likewise against our enemies, for we have many enemies that oppose us in this life. We ourselves are the greatest enemy of our own salvation. And we have Satan as an adversary seeking to destroy us. We have the world, the flesh, and sin within us, which are great enemies which we cannot overcome. And therefore we have to pray to God that he would protect us, that he would keep us from our enemies, that they may not prevail over us. This causes this continual praying unto God. And he will, in due time, avenge us. He will come to our help. He will come to deliver us and to give us to enjoy what we have been seeking him for. And Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith upon the earth? This teaches us that Jesus Christ is coming. He did come right after he had ascended up into heaven. 40 years later he came. He visited the Jewish people for their sins and their iniquities. He brought a terrible desolation upon this city. It was completely demolished. The Jews were scattered far and wide under the curse of God, and they still are drifting all over the world. Jesus Christ likewise comes to his individual people. They are the apple of his eye. He has his eye upon them. And when they are in distress and when they need help, he is there to help them. But he is also coming to judgment. This great day is hastening upon us. We are getting nearer and nearer to the time when Jesus shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And when he comes, shall he find faith upon the earth? When we consider how many thousands of churches there are and how many millions of people go up to these churches to worship God, we would say surely there will be an innumerable multitude of people who have faith. Yes, there are an innumerable multitude of people that have faith. But will it be that faith that Jesus shall look for? When Jesus was here on earth, people came to him to be cured. And he usually asked them and tested them concerning their faith. It was only that faith was the means whereby they could be cured. Jesus then speaks here of coming, and shall he find faith upon the earth? And I think he means thereby, and we would put behind it, a great no. He won't find much faith on earth. It's only on earth that faith is necessary. And it's only on earth that we have faith. When faith is given to experience what it has believed, then it has its accomplishment. Those who die in unbelief and did not believe, they are feeling the consequences of what they didn't believe. But those that have been given to go to heaven, they are experiencing what they believe, enjoying what they believe. And now there is faith, much nominal faith, much historical faith. Many people have faith. They talk about it as if they have it up here and they can use it whenever they want it. But I am afraid, and so sure am I, according to the word of God, that when Jesus comes, he will find very few truly godly people that have this special faith. Oh, what a day that will be, my hearers. On which side will you be, my hearers? What sort of a faith have you? Do you say, I don't have any faith? I am afraid I am destitute of this precious grace, faith. Or may you be given to feel that you have it not. There is one that can bestow it. There is one that can work it in your very heart and grant you that enjoyment of it already here below. It's a precious grace, my hearers, but it's in the hands of Christ. He is the author of it, and he is the exerciser of it, and he is the finisher of that faith. All this faith is necessary shall we enter into glory above. Shall he find faith upon the earth? Oh, what millions and millions will come before him and say, have we not testified in thy name? Have we not done many miracles in thy name? And he shall say unto them,